Welcome to the podcast of Dr. Michael Jacobs. We believe today's message will help you walk in faith and have victory now.
I want to talk to you tonight about something real important to me, and I hope that it would benefit you. I believe it should and would. And I'm going to go do something a little bit different. I'm going to talk to you tonight about praying out the prophecies. And I'll talk to you about that as we get into this tonight. Would that help you a little bit? How to pray out the prophecies. Now, so we want to just pray, first of all. Father, we just ask you to help us tonight to minister this accurately and rightly divide the word. Help the people who hear me and help us to get a hold of this in a significant way, we ask, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen and amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy here for just a minute. We're going to pick up some scriptures, of course, but I'm going to talk to you about something that came to me as a revelation. Now, I don't get that many messages like that. To be fair about it, most of the time when I get messages, it comes through a lot of study and a lot of hard work and a lot of prayers and things like that. But occasionally, God just visits me and ministers to me something specific. And from that visit or visitation or that word he gives me, he takes me in a whole other course of my life. And we have a tape. I don't know if we have them out there, but we got one tape called How Far Does the Blood Go? That came by that revelation. And I was teaching on the blood in 1990, and not blood covenant, but just the blood of Jesus. And God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, get up, I want to talk to you about my blood. Get a piece of paper and a pencil. And I wrote down what he said. And then I filled in the blanks, and that tape has went all over the world and helped so many people, the blood of Jesus. You know, how far does the blood go? And it goes every, spirit, soul, and body. It goes into your past, into your now, and into your tomorrow. But this came the same way, only a little different operation happened. And I was riding on an airplane going down to Pastor Dennis Hadaball's, Dr. Hadaball's church, actually the day before Dad went home. And I was on an airplane. Normally I'm either sleeping, resting, or praying, or meditating, or I got my earbuds in, or I'm listening to something, but I didn't do any of the above right then. I just laid back in my chair on that plane, and I was just meditating, really wasn't thinking about a lot, just kind of just open, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, and the Lord said, Michael, you're to be commended. This is what he said to me, and these are my prophecies right here that I carry in my Bible, plus this one, the last one I got from Dr. Dufresne. I haven't got it transferred onto a clean piece of paper yet. But I was sitting in the airplane, and the Lord said, you're to be commended, Michael. He just broke in on me and said that you're reading the prophecies weekly, but he said you still haven't got it. And he said, he went on to say, there's a lot more in these prophecies than you've ever gotten out of it, because this is what he said, you never talked to me much about it. You're reading them, but you're not communicating with me about it in any depth. And because of that, you're really not operating in the fullness of what these prophecies could do for you and in you and through you. I paid attention to that. So I got encouraged, then I got rebuked. You know, if you're smart, you'd appreciate men that rebuke you, though they don't call you by name. I'm not going to call anybody by name. But I know for me, you know, I lived through the charismatic movement when we were all playing church. And we meant well, but we just didn't know nothing. And we used to get a word in church, somebody would get a prophecy, or somebody might speak in tongues and somebody else interpret. And we'd all run, scream, and laugh, and run around the church. And then we'd get out in the parking lot. And somebody would say, Jim would say to Bill, man, wasn't that a great service? Yeah. Said, man, wasn't that a great word? It was. What did the Lord say to us? And nobody could remember anything the Lord said to us. Now, let me just, I'm just asking a question. I'm not rebuking you. But if God's speaking, how come you didn't remember anything he said? It didn't do us any good to run and jump and buck and scream if we didn't catch what he said to us, for goodness sakes. And then we all kind of looked down and wondered what to do with ourselves. Now, I'm making fun of that because I was a part of that era too. When I was immature, I didn't know what to do with that. It never even dawned on me to remember what he said. So this is the reason we haven't made some of the progress we should have made and could have made to pray out the prophecies. See, my spiritual father said this. He said, let me see if I can find it. Nothing you get from God will come to pass if you don't say it. Nothing you get from God will come to pass if you don't say it. So you could have prophecies, even a man like Dr. Dufresne of his caliber speak to you, and then, or me, he spoke, and most of these prophecies are from him or Pastor Nancy for 20 years. But see, I was letting some of that slip, not consciously, but subconsciously, by not, first of all, I just started reading them more regularly when I should have been reading them all along. Of course, I did read them from time to time, but now they're much more precious to me. Yeah, and the Lord spoke that the day before he went home. So I had them out in my hotel room by my Bible like this when Morgan called me about Dad's leaving. And just meant a lot more to me than it, you know, I couldn't fathom that he was gone, but I realized, you know, man, I've got some of his words that God gave me. I made a point to make sure we copied them and put them down. And the last word here that he gave me, and it was quite a word for over in Clarksville, Tennessee. Hallelujah. He said, another part of the puzzle, there's one part been missing, but now he says, you're not missing it no more. And he hit me in the head and down I went. And my wife was with me in that service, and she thought, what does that mean? Is that, you know, it sounds like he's leaving. It's kind of an odd thing, you know. We didn't have any, that was in August, and he left in October. Just thinking about some things here. So, and it kind of reminded us of what Brother Hagin said to him the last time he talked about it. And Brother Hagin hit him in the head and said, you got all you need. That mean I have all I need forever, but all I need from him that he was putting in me, Dr. Dufresne. And so it meant a lot to me, of course. I'm just talking to you here. We're just getting started. We'll get you out on time whenever time is. 10 o'clock, you said, right? Okay. No, I won't do that to your kids. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 1 here. And let me find my little other sheet here. It's got a different translation with it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, by these prophecies that were spoken over him, he might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Now, the Amplified Bible of verse 18 says this. This should help us a great deal here. And by the way, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I did have to take Greek in seminary, and I made good grades in it. And I'm not ignorant. I can look stuff up. And every time I've ever looked up anything in the Greek New Testament, which I have a Greek New Testament, it's the Amplified is spot on every single time. That's why it's next to the King Jimmy. You know, it's the best translation, I think. And King Jimmy's got some issues, but still it's a good translation. This charge and admonition I commit and trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, so that inspired and aided by them, by these prophecies, inspired and aided by these prophecies, you may wage the good warfare. See, sometimes we didn't even remember what the prophecy was. How would that inspire us then, or how would it have aided us? But the prophecies were given to aid us in our walk with God. And really, I came up with this thought. I mean, I feel like I got it from the Lord. He said the prophecies are like a blueprint that you could follow if you pay attention to them. And if they came from somebody that was trusted and somebody that knew what they were doing. I'll talk about those you can't trust in a minute sometime to help you understand that a little better. But so we're seeing here our prophecies that are given to us are given to aid us and inspire us. Now, I noticed that Pastor Nancy just gave this prophecy, I think here it said December the 7th, and I've been reading it, of course, and getting a lot out of it, and I think you had a little thing up on the PowerPoint earlier about greater manifestations, greater power, greater demonstrations and things. So, see, now that this is not going to come to pass. It won't come to pass for you or the church unless you pray it. You're going to have to pray these out. The Dr. Dufresne said, nothing God gives you is going to come pass if you won't say it. You got to say it. Hallelujah. You don't have to say the whole thing in one sentence or in one moment of time. It may take you a year to pray all that out. I don't know. It's a pretty long prophecy, but it's an excellent prophecy. And you could just take a portion of it a day and read it and then pray it and talk to the Father. Well, since there's going to be greater power revealed, Father, what's my part in it, if any? Or I pray for Pastor Nancy that she'll walk in that. This church will walk in the greater power and the greater, you know, see, begin to pray that it'll spread through the body of Christ. And you got to realize it, though somebody says that under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I don't doubt that she did get that by the Holy Ghost. It's not coming to pass unless you add your faith with it. You know, in the same way, there's no scripture in here that's going to come to pass in your life unless you pray it and say it. It's just not going to happen, folks. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross in 71 when I got saved. He went there 2,000 years ago, but it didn't mean a thing to me until 1971 when I said, Jesus, come into my heart, save me, help me. I need some help here. Little drug addict boy, little drug dealer boy, insane. Yeah, it didn't mean a thing to me until I began to pray it and say it. Hallelujah. There is more in the prophecies, I'm reminding you what the Lord said to me, that you have been given, and you will find out more if you spend more time talking to God about them. And then I wrote down, pay attention to the patterns of the prophecies you've received down through the years. Now, you may say to me, somebody's going to say this, I don't have one of these sheets like you. Well, then you're not as responsible as I am. That's all that means. What this means to me is extra responsibility. You know, I'm bigger boy now. I don't go, oh, wow, I got a word. No, I got a word. Let's see, what does it say? I'm going to have to buckle up and fly straight here. That's what it should mean to you when you get a prophecy. It's not play day. We're just playing. Right. We got to grow up. You making fun of us? I'm making fun of everybody that's immature when they shouldn't be that way. Now, if you're a newborn Christian, then you're just immature, no matter if you're 57. But when you've been in Christ a while, God's expecting you to grow up. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this. I don't know. You seem kind of quiet on me. When God speaks a word to you, you have to join your words to His speaking, what He said, for it to come to pass, Dr. Ed Dufresne. So why would God speak to us if we're not paying attention? Why would He even bother to speak to us? I think in the charismatic movement, He was speaking, trying to get us to catch on. I don't think some of us did for a long time. I know I didn't, and I was a serious type person, but I didn't catch that aspect of it. I was like all the others, running and jumping and screaming and bucking and got excited, but then what did God say? I don't know. I don't remember what He said. So see, it don't mean nothing if you're just going to do that. You have to pay attention to this. And it says, too, we just read it here, you have to have a clear conscience. In other words, you can't live any way you want to live. You have to step over into a lifestyle to where you don't defile your conscience. See, faith is faith, but if you live wrong, your faith won't work. Is that simple enough for you? If you talk wrong or live wrong or believe wrong, no matter about your faith will shut down because your conscience will condemn yourself. Pretty good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. Where's my guy going to pat me on the back at? Here he is right here. Come on. Come on. Give me that. I like that. Yeah, thank you. Thinking that prophecies will automatically come to pass is wrong thinking. And it will hinder you from moving forward in the things that have been spoken. Every time we can touch the plan of God and move it forward if we're thinking right. I have an article here. This is an old-time newsletter from 96 from Lynn Hammond, and she's talking about in that Brother Hagin getting in the Spirit in the 40s, early 40s, and praying about the gifts of the Spirit and the move of God that would come at the end of World War II. And he said he just picked that up by the Holy Ghost and was praying and had a vision that there was coming a healing revival or a move of God and the gifts of the Spirit. But he said when he was praying initially, there wasn't that much happening. But it was 4, 5, or 6 years later, all of a sudden the Spirit was poured out. Like on men like Oral Roberts and William Branham and other great men of God that were used of God significantly, but he said there was just so much healing taught in the earth at the end of World War II from 48 to 57 or something like that, because there was such teaching on it. And he was a part of praying that out. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Praise the Lord. And she says here, you know, there are some things that the Holy Ghost has spoken to some of your hearts. There are some things the Spirit of God has said about your life. Some things he said about your finances. And I'm sure every one of us would say there are some things in my heart God has said to me in a time of prayer. And I know that I heard from heaven. Yet those things have never happened. What's more, it doesn't look like they ever could happen. What do I do with those things? And she goes on to say there's a Godward side and a manward side. And so we're going to have to get in these prophecies, and we're going to have to also... Now, so we could say it this way, too, about... I'm talking about prophecies that somebody gave me, but what about things that the Spirit of God just quickens to your spirit when you're reading the Bible? You're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden this verse jumps out at you. Listen to me, you ought to write that down. Either write the whole scripture down or write the reference down, and then don't forget it. Go back and read it again and get some other translations and read it. And then go to the Father and talk to the Father about what are you trying? I tell you, you're trying to get something over to me. Help me here, Father. And repeat that verse and quote that verse and speak that verse and break it down in bite-sized pieces and spend a little time getting quiet before God. We live such a hectic life anymore. I'm not a very tech-savvy person. Some technology really irritates me. It really does, especially if I'm with one of my sons or another preacher and he's always talking on the phone when I'm with him. So if I ever have lunch with you, you do that, I may just get up and leave you. I never brought my phone to a meeting with Dr. Dufresne. I never took my phone and kept it on me when I was with him. And if it had a rung, I'd have turned it off. I wouldn't have responded. You know, because I'm a real son. I'm not a play with it son. I'm just talking. Hey, come on. I need another one. Here we go. Come on. Thank you. Some people live by their phone. They live by their computer. And they just got nonsense on there. Somebody emailed me recently on my phone and said, would you be a Facebook friend? I don't do Facebook. I didn't even tell them that yet. They probably think I'm a dinosaur because I don't. I don't have time to know about when you went to get a pizza or that you took a shower. I don't care. I don't care if you ate a pizza. I don't care if you took a shower. Unless you're by me, then you need some deodorant on. Now, technology is helpful when you use it right, but you ought to govern it. It shouldn't govern you. Somebody come be around Dr. Dufresne, keep their phone on and respond at a table? What's the matter with those people? They're play with it sons at best. Oh, well, praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. Your warfare that it talks about in here is holding up the prophecy in God's face in the right way, in respect, but reminding him of what he said to you. See, that's what he meant on that plane that day. You read these out loud to yourself, but you don't get the fullness of what I've really meant to say to you because you're not talking to me about them specifically. I'm going to read some things that God has said to me, and if these things pertain to you at the end of the service tonight, if I have time, I'll lay hands on you and you could receive. So I may get a word of knowledge, but I'm just going to read you the prophecies because they pertain to my life and my mantle. So if it relates to you, just you could get up here if you wanted it. Here, Dr. Dufresne says, this was in 96. I hooked up with him in 93. You've experienced the ministry of a teacher for many years, but now you're moving into the prophetic realm, and you're moving into the supernatural realm. And he goes on to talk about the revival that would hit my church. And it did hit it, but this is not this revival this is talking about. This is a different revival. And then he says, I want you to put your hands out, and the fire of God is going to come on your right hand in the name of Jesus, and you'll have more success in the area of bones being healed. And then he said, be bold about it. Amen. See, because he did that in a public setting. He had a word of knowledge about bone problems, and all these people came. It was a sea of gray in the congregation. Everybody had gray hair. I'm not making fun. They were just old people. and they came up with walkers and crutches and canes. And then he called me up and said, I've been mentoring a guy for a few years. This was in 96. I'd hooked up in 93. And I was seated way in the back, my wife and I, and he sent an usher back to get me and put me up by him. I didn't ask for that. And then when he got ready to minister, he said, I've been mentoring a young pastor here. Come up here, Pastor Jacobs. And he's put your hands out, and he slapped me in my hands and said, now the fire of God's in your right hand. You're going to pray for these people. So I started down through there, kind of not very bold at all. And he screamed at me. And he said, be bold about it. And I said, yes, sir, in Jesus' name. And they went flying, clutches went flying, canes went flying. People got healed. It was wonderful. That was a long time ago. We've had people healed of scoliosis and arthritis and every kind of a itis you can think of, it seems like. Yeah. And then in Terre Haute, Indiana, in 98, he said the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. Now, I didn't tell him I operated in those two things, but he knew it by the Spirit. We'll operate with more accuracy from this time forth, and they sure do. We talked about it in Bible school some. And they'll operate with more accuracy from this time. Then I was in Peru with him. He said, there's refreshing in your hands. So you could just come tonight if you want to be refreshed, and I could lay my hands on you and just impart power, and you could be refreshed. Hallelujah. Refreshed from what? I don't know what you need refreshed from. You figure that out. That's your part of it. I don't know. Teeth and jaw miracles and healings, we've had those things. And then here's the Abakan, Russia, when we were in Siberia, that first trip. That was probably one of the most remarkable mission trips I've ever been on. And now I've been on 92 trips, so it hadn't like been like I just did one once a while. Yeah. But this was significant, July 3rd, 2002. He began to speak in a back room to those that were with us. Most of those guys aren't even with Doctor anymore. Pastor Matthews is. Dr. Matthews, he was in there with me. And I don't know about the rest of them. I don't see them anymore. Some I know are not with him anymore. But these are the men that I'll send out all over the world with special anointings, he said. Special anointings. Special works of God. Special acts of God will flow through their ministries. These are the men of the last days that are anointed by the power of God and do the acts of God, who yield themselves to the acts of God. These are the men, glory to God, these are the men that will walk in the power of the acts of God and the healings of God, and they'll move across this land in this generation. Then he says, there will be a generation raised up for miracles, signs, and wonders. What a prophecy. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And I've seen this come to pass. A lot of all the things that I'm mentioning to you, at least some level, and sometimes in more levels than I could have time to talk about. And then I was in Kuwait with him in 2004. And this is probably one of the most precious prophecies that I ever received from him. I'd been with him 2004. That'd been 11 years. And he had only mentioned that prophetic realm one time up here, but he never talked to me much about that. But yet there was something working on me, and I went with him to Kuwait, and he says, as you have walked in the footsteps of the prophet, and he pointed to himself, you begin to make your own footsteps as a prophet. And the healing anointing that has come and gone, you went in and out of it, has come to abide. And that prophecy's really, really been a very powerful thing in my life the last 10 years, especially. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So just a lot of things like that. Are you learning what I mean by that? And then Pastor Nancy, she's ministered to me many times about angels. Pastor Nancy, 2011, that was the ladies' meeting at my church. That was, 4 years ago now. She said, you'll have more revelation, more visitations from the angels. Then I was here in 2011. At this church preaching, and on Sunday morning, she said, Pastor Jacobs, you've come into another place in the Spirit and in revelation and in seeing and knowing and in the prophet's office. And then if you were here last June, she gave me another prophecy. I have it right here. It's rather large. I won't read it. About an angel bringing an impartation to me and different things and how he was going to fund me. And he's funding me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, praise the Lord. So let's go over to 1 Timothy 4. Are you still over there in Timothy? Look at 1 Timothy 4, and let's take a look at this passage here in verse 14 through 16. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or the ministry. You know, Dr. Dufresne would have me help him and others too, in the laying on of hands to ordain people and things like that. And of course, he ministered to us all about different things, and at times, different gifts were put into us. And he would speak about those things. Hallelujah. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now see, here says something that's really important here. It says, meditate upon these things. See, if I get a prophecy and I just write it down, but then I never think about it again for another 6 months, that's not meditating on it. That's just coming in, just visiting it every once in a great while. But now anymore, I'm looking at this just about every day, these prophecies, and talking to the Father about them more specifically. Like, you know, different things I might say, well, have I operated in the fullness of this yet, or where am I at in that, Father? Yeah. He may say, well, you're at 50%, or you're at 40, or you're at 80, or what? In different ones, he says different things to me. Hallelujah. Now you might say, well, I don't have a piece of paper in my Bible like you do. I didn't ask you to have a piece of paper in your Bible like I do. You got one right here. How about if you just belong to a local church? If a pastor's any count at all, I highlight that comment. He should have something written out as the vision of that church, or he shouldn't be pastoring. Now, that could change. You know, when you're young and immature, you think a certain way, and then after 5 years, you go, man, what was I thinking? And you might have to rewrite some things and a different manner that God's dealing with you now. I mean, you know, I've been in this 40 years. I'm a little different than I was 35 years ago of how I think about all this. But see, you could take these prophecies that's given by somebody you already respect and know. She's your pastor. I better not say that. I think she's moving more in the prophetic office right now, but still yet she's still your pastor and trusted person. I trust her. I trust Pastor Nancy. When she gets things, I believe she hears from heaven. Hallelujah. I'm supportive of her. Okay, I just want to say that. So, you know, when you have somebody you respect and love and somebody that loves you, I remember she gave me that word and she stood right here and she said, I was glad I was here to see that tonight. Oh, how that touches me. Yeah. And she said some very, very poignant things to me when I was laying on the floor over there crying. Hallelujah. So you got to start praying these things out to help her and to help this prophecy come to pass. That's what I'm saying. And then you could take little verses that God quickens to you too and begin to pray about those things because God's speaking to you about something. Pay attention. That's what I'm kind of saying in a nutshell. Pay attention. When God speaks to you out of his word, he's speaking to you for a reason. Amen. Like when he woke me up in the middle of the night in 1990, I was already preaching 10 messages on the blood of Jesus. But he said, I want to talk to you about my blood. So I got out of bed. And of course, I told him I would do that years ago. If you wake me up in the middle of the night to pray, I will know it and I will get up and go pray. And he's done that when he needs me to do that. And I've done it in response to him, getting up out of bed and going in the other room and not falling asleep. And not drinking coffee so I won't fall asleep, but just getting up and obeying him and taking a nap during the day later if I needed to. I'm just talking to you. I haven't done everything perfect. I've made a lot of mistakes. That's why the blood's so important to me. It ought to be to you too, even if you haven't made as many mistakes as I have. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm getting lost in this, but here. Now, I'm going to read this little excerpt of this passage in Timothy 14 through 16 from, this is Rick Renner's book, and he really is basically a Greek scholar, I would consider him. He translates these things out of the Greek, and this is his rendition of verse 14 through 16. He says, till I come, you must continue consistently and habitually giving yourself to the reading of Scripture, not for the sake of a sermon, but for the sake of your own personal growth. This growth should first be reflected by deep spiritual fellowship around the Word with your closest friends. Then finally, this growth will be reflected as you minister God's Word publicly. Your public ministry, however, should be an overflow from the other areas of your life. Public ministry is a result of personal growth. Do not continue neglecting and ignoring the gift in your life. Now, I'm using that in a broader sense than what he means right here, the gift in your life. If God gives a prophecy, that's a gift. And she said this is to the body of Christ. It says prophecy given to the body of Christ. So then the body of Christ, whoever the body is that will recognize it, should be getting a hold of that. And like I'm carrying that with me now as I'm praying some of these things out with her. Not in her presence, but in my own prayer life. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Do not continue neglecting and ignoring the gift in your life. It is a supernatural endowment. What if you only had one prophecy? What if you just had a couple words from somebody gave you and it was really God? Man, I would pay attention to that. And if you'll be diligent with that, maybe more will come. I can't guarantee that. That's between God and you. But I would just think I wouldn't waste my time on somebody who don't pay attention personally. Me personally, I wouldn't. You know, when people don't pay attention to me, they come for counseling, they don't bring a piece of paper and a pencil. I tell them publicly, I told them that a while back, if you ever come in my office without a pad and a pencil, I will turn you away and will not counsel you. You're going to show me some respect when you come listen to what I have to say. You're coming to me for help and you don't even have a pencil or a piece of paper or your Bible? For God's sake, what are you thinking? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll get back into nice mode here. Hang on a minute. I'll get there. Give me a minute. I'm just the real deal. Some people don't like it, but I don't care. I'm still the real deal. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, trying to help people. But when you come to me for help and you don't have a piece of paper and a pencil to write, you don't even bring your own Bible where you could mark a verse if I gave you an answer, that shows me you're just playing with my time. You're pimping my time. I know this is going out all over the world. God bless you, world. Hallelujah. Okay, do not neglect ignoring the gift that's in your life. It's a supernatural endowment full of power and ability. Regardless of how much you've already done, the gift in you is so powerful it can do more. Think about that. Just like that word that Dr. Dufresne gave me, the word of knowledge, discerning. He didn't give me those gifts. Those gifts were already operating, but he said they would operate on a more accurate level from that moment forward. So I paid attention to that. And they have, and they do. But I paid attention to that. And whenever I'm preaching or just ministering, I'm always thinking, well, does the Lord have anything he needs me to say specifically or something in the word of knowledge area or discerning of spirits? Sometimes I see things, you know, in people or on people or around people. Anyway, all right. It's not always bad either. Okay, just wanted you to know that. Yeah. Because people go, they want to run to the bathroom right now because I'm looking. Quit that. Regardless of how much you've already done, the gift in you is so powerful it can do more. When God gave it to you, he also gave you a prophecy as the elders laid hands on you. God told you specifically, he's talking about Timothy, what he would do through your ministry. Have you fulfilled all that prophecy? Then you must start yielding to the gift in a greater way. Have you ever thought about that? There's a greater way to yield to what God has for you? If you have something. Now, don't make things up. Don't try to. See, it has to be orchestrated divinely, supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. But he will use sometimes people to either give you a word or confirm something he's already dealt with you about. Amen. He speaks to you and then somebody else confirms that periodically. Maybe not for all of us, but certainly for those of us learning to grow up into something. Amen. That we've never walked in before. We've got to learn to be sensitive to that. Hallelujah. Oh, my, my, my. Let me talk to you just a minute. Take special time and care. This is still this passage in Timothy. Take special time and care to cultivate these things. These things will not develop by accident. Yes. See, this is what I mean about people in their time. We're such a generation of technology, and some of it's supposed to help us conserve our time. But if you're not careful, it runs your time. I'm not going to get on Facebook. I don't care what people say about me, period. I'm not interested in the cheers or the jeers, either one, and the criticism. I'm not going to read that and then have to get over that. You've got to take special time and care to cultivate spiritual things in your life. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And if you're not careful, you get down the road 10 or 20 more years and you realize you didn't do anything that we talked about tonight. And you're still the same person you were. And God was trying to move you forward the whole time. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. I'm not accusing you of that. I'm just saying if you don't take special time and care to cultivate these things, they're not going to develop. Yeah. And he says, but you need to be consumed with them and given to them. And he says, almost driven until you feel you're up to your ears in them. Then you'll really begin to grow. You will begin to forge new frontiers and everyone will see your growth and be encouraged to follow. Understand that your personal development is the first priority in your life. Your personal development is the first priority in your life. Grab hold of yourself and determine to cultivate growth in your life. I was telling the Bible school students today, if I find myself thinking negative about something, I just get myself by the ear and say, Michael, you get back over in this word right now. You stop that. I rebuke it, and then I get myself back in the word. Not that I'm out of it that much, but I just say, well, that's not right here. I've got to renew my mind a little better in that area. Praise the Lord. That's probably good enough to talk about that part of it for now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about these things because they're important. You need to write stuff down and make sure. You need to write stuff down, make sure they're valid in your heart. Oh, I want to talk about that a minute. Somebody asked me, I was in Mexico City recently, and that pastor from Mexico City was up in my meeting. For my sons last August, I had a meeting for my sons and daughters and my whole church. It's just called it Word and Spirit Conference. But he said, you preached a message in that at your meeting that I wanted you to preach down here. And I didn't know he wanted me to preach. And I said, well, what's the name of it? And he said, something to do with prophecies. And I mean, I said, praying out the prophecies? He said, yeah. He said, there's a lot of people running around now and giving people words and they're not even intelligent. And they're not spiritual, and they're ruining people's lives. Maybe you know somebody like that that's just immature and all about themselves and ego. And all I'm saying to you is beware of that, because what I wrote down is three things to take place for you to think about. Who gave you a word? Who is this person? Do they have credibility? Are they submitted to anybody anywhere on the planet? And do you know much about them? Number two, did it make sense to you? If it doesn't make sense, I'd just forget it. You're not that stupid. I'm sorry to be frank, but you're just not that stupid. If it don't make sense to you, then that's not God. God is not wordy, and he's not so out there that he doesn't make sense to us. And he'll even bring it down on my level where it makes sense. Hallelujah. I never said I was the sharpest tool in the toolbox anyway, but still, he'll bring it on my level. And then number three, did it bear witness in your heart, not your head? It may not make sense to your brain, but if it makes sense down here, you could trust those things. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit himself should read, it says itself, but it should be himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But that's forever and ever. Not just that you're a child of God, but the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit when it's God, period. So you're going to have to check yourself in here. If somebody gives you a word, did it make sense to you? And who is this person giving you this word? Because, you know, it's kind of flattering for people to get a word. And if you're not very spiritual, you're more egotistical. It flatters your ego, and you get all puffed up about it. And you don't even care who the person is. That's a very dangerous way to live, my friend. I'm just talking to you here. Hallelujah. I'm just about done. Praise the Lord. Write stuff down. If God speaks to you about anything, write it down and then pray about it and spend some time in prayer. I'm not done reading this here, but I got a couple other things here. So you could help your pastor by praying out the vision of the church that you attend. If I'm on live stream, I don't know if I am, but everybody ought to listen to this. If you're in a local church, get a copy of the vision of the church. Every new members class that I conduct, I give them a copy of the vision that God gave me for the church. They got a paper copy in their hands. They could go pray it. You know, if they would, that'd be great. But see, you got this prophecy here. It's a current prophecy. Greater manifestations Oh, praise God. For manifestations can be had in a lesser or greater measure. Yeah. See, that ought to tell you something here. It's not automatic going to be the best it could be unless you're the best you could be. Mm-hmm. So next year is a year that holds greater. That's for those who believe it holds greater. It's not for those who just read it and forget it. Or read it and just act like they're believing, but really not believing. Hallelujah. Trying to help you here. So you can pray out the church vision, even if you didn't have a sheet like this, like I do, you know. And I'm not bragging about this. I'm just trying to show you that I paid attention to that. But even at that, see, I mean, just been a year and a half since Dad went home. And the day before that, God kind of encouraged me, then he rebuked me. So I have to pay attention to the rebukes as much as the encouragements that he gives me. I'm glad that he doesn't have to talk to me like that all the time, my heavenly father. Neither did my spiritual father. For the few times I got rebuked or corrected, and it wasn't always in a private setting. Sometimes he's just preaching from the pulpit, and he just read my mail. I told Pastor Morgan here, Sister Morgan, in the back room, I said, I don't think you knew this, but I was going to scrap all my media stuff a few years ago. I didn't tell anybody about it. I was just tired of fooling with it. Takes a lot of money to produce stuff. And you got to believe God constantly and have people that redo your stuff. And, you know, it's just a big deal, kind of. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm just going to forget all this and do away with that. Just travel and preach and enjoy, you know, and not have to use that my faith on that too. And I got in a meeting with Dr. Dufresne in Topeka, Kansas. It's been about 6 years ago now. And I was in the back room. Everybody else had left. It was just our table sitting with Doctor that was left in there. And all of a sudden, he got in the spirit. He looked right across the table, and there's Pastor Nancy. He gave her a word. He went down through there, gave everybody a word. He got to me. He said, this is what the Spirit said to him. Don't even think about getting rid of your media. You got a lot more books to write, and you got materials to produce, and it'll go all over the world. Now, how did he know that? Man, I mean, he read my mail down to the T. See? Praise the Lord. So you can get a rhema word versus a logos word where certain scriptures are quickened to you by the Holy Ghost and they stand out. You need to write those down and pray those and talk to God about them. Hallelujah. Anybody else listening here? You're listening to me tonight. We also have on here in 2008, God visited me and said, I'm giving you an anointing for lungs and breathing problems. And then in 2008, also in Indiana, Dr. Dufresne ministered to me. He said, creative miracles will happen in your ministry. And then he noted smelling and tasting with some of them. Then 2011, he told me cosmetic miracles would take place in your life. I was in a meeting with him and I was sitting and he came over and he did this to my face and he went like that. And then he said, you're going to have cosmetic miracles in your ministry. Hallelujah. So, whatever all that means, I'm not sure about it, but I just know we're going to have it. Hallelujah. Well, I hope we made sense tonight. Pray out those prophecies. Even if you don't have any personal prophecies, you got a prophecy from your pastor. And this church has a church vision written down somewhere, I'm sure they do, that you could just pray that. But this one that Pastor Nancy just gave to the body of Christ, man, there's a lot in that. Greater demonstrations, greater power, greater impartations, just greater, the greaterness of God, if I can say that. I don't know if that's a good way to say it English-wise, but the greaterness of God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. To view Dr. Jacob's travel itinerary, order products, and more, please visit cotrin.org/mjm.